Come with me to the book of James, please. Come with me to the book of James. We'll be in James chapter 2. Now, how many of you know what a knockoff is? Okay. A knockoff is a fake, right? And they usually make knockoffs of what? What are some of the typical knockoffs? Purses. My understanding is that there is a purse called a Coach purse. Now, how much does a Coach purse go for? How much? $150? Oh, $350. And they sell them for a lot less than knockoffs. They do it with watches also. I think I shared, well, I was going to bring it today, but I was afraid one of you were going to try to rip me off. A Rolex. It works really well twice a day. Real well. Somebody gave it to me. But a knockoff is an imitation. It's a fake. And unfortunately, a lot of people live with a knockoff kind of faith. It's not a real faith. A cartoon in Leadership Magazine pictured a conventional-looking church with a large billboard in the foreground, advertising its ministry. The sign read, "The Light Church," L-I-T-E, the light, like light versus fattening. 24% fewer commitments. Home of the 7.5% tithe. 15-minute sermons. 45-minute worship services. We only have 8 commandments. Your choice. We use just 3 spiritual laws. Everything you wanted in a church and less. Now, it's kind of funny, but it's kind of sad because, unfortunately, too many people live with that kind of a mentality about faith. And friends, that's why people are frustrated. That's why people will say, "Oh, I tried God." But it was a knockoff kind of faith. And this is what James is talking about here. A knockoff kind of faith here in the 14 to the end of the chapter, verse 26. But I want us to understand something here. As we come to this passage and understand this, what we do reveals who we are. What we do reveals who we are. Paul tells the Corinthians, who had been a problematic church, they had been very much troublesome. He says, "Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves." But I also want us to understand, and as we come to this passage, and you'll understand a little bit more, that we are not working. We are not working to earn God's favor. We are working because we have God's favor. Okay? Again, this is what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 says. He says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." We're not trying to earn God's favor, but because we have God's favor, we are out there working and serving. And so, again, some over the ages have felt that Paul and James contradict each other here. In fact, Martin Luther, a great reformer, a great founder, a renewal in the faith back in the 1500s, didn't quite grasp the book of James. But James and Paul are not at odds with each other. Paul is saying you're saved by faith. James is saying because you are saved by faith, you will have works. It will be obvious, it will be evident to people around you that you are a child of God. Now I have to ask myself the question, I think each of you needs to ask yourself the question, do people know you're a Christian because of what you do? By the kind of lifestyle you live, is there evidence of fruit of the Spirit of God in your life? And if there's not, maybe you're living with a knockoff kind of faith, an imitation, a fake, something that's not real. And friends, this is really concerning for each and every one of us. Because if my faith is a knockoff kind of faith, I'm going to end up in hell. Severe consequences. And if I have a knockoff kind of faith, how can I help somebody else have a real faith? Well, we want to see three things out of this passage here in the book of James. So, the first one is this. Point number one. A knockoff faith talks a good game. Talks a good game, but real faith serves with compassion. Okay? If you have a knockoff kind of faith, you could talk the talk. But real faith walks the walk, walks the talk also. Look what he says in verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Now again, this is not about salvation, about having the works to make salvation. It's about if you have genuine faith, there will be evidence of that genuine faith. Can that faith save him? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? What use is that? You know, we've been talking about compassion ministries or mercy ministries. And again, we try to meet with people from the Children's Hunger Fund to help us in this area of training us and equipping us to help us go with mercy. Go with mercy and compassion. He says, if a brother or sister doesn't have it, are you helping them out? Now, I'm not saying that we never help. I'm not saying that we don't help. Or I'm not saying that what I am saying, I think we can improve in our help, right? He said, verse 16, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and be filled. Isn't that talking a good game? Go in peace, be warm, be filled. And yet do not give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that? That's a knockoff kind of faith. That's a knockoff faith to say, talk the talk, but don't back it up with action. We need to talk the talk and back it up with Christ's action. Because we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ healed people. He saved people. He fed people. He ministered to people. He served people. Now, friends, there is a reality here that if I put money in the offering plate, my obligation is done. Because I trust the leaders of the church to send it to the mission field, to do ministry with that, to fix the facilities, to give to the poor and all that. So my responsibility is taken care of. Guess what? You're wrong. You're wrong. Because each of us has a responsibility to follow what Christ says and does. In Matthew 7:16, Jesus is telling, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles, are they? We will be known by our fruits. Jesus came to proclaim the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, to bring liberty to those who are in bondage. Friends, is our life about serving with compassion? Is our life about ministering to people? Are we, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we put qualifications on who we will help. Well, this, and that. They need to meet those qualifications, then I will help them. Well, I don't see any qualifications here, do you? Or restrictions or attitudes that Jesus is saying. They need to want the help. They need to ask for the help. They need to be doing everything they can for the help. Because it's about my heart. It's about my heart. Chuck Swindoll says, you know what, when people ask for money, you know, I know a lot of them, a good number of them will abuse it or misuse it. But I don't want to get a hard heart, so I help, I assist, I'll give. So that my heart does. See, again, the passage here is not talking from the perspective of those who are in need. It's talking about those who are in a position to give. Because again, those who are in a position to receive or in need, that's a message for another time. Today is the message about those of us who have the opportunity to give. And I see a responsibility. A friend of mine, I think I shared with you, he went on the riverbed. And he noticed a larger number of people under the bridges out of the riverbed because of the rains. If you've ever ridden north on the riverbed on the San Gabriel, it was becoming a little bit of a community down there, north of Valley. There was a community of people growing there. Now they are displaced. But friends, that's an extreme case that we have opportunity to help. But he's talking about here among the brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have a real faith, you're going to serve with compassion. If you have a real faith, you're going to see and meet needs. If you have a real faith, and you know what? This isn't just about food. This isn't just about giving them clothing. But what about friendship? Are you extending friendship to them? Do you notice people who come to church and they come in quietly and they sneak out quietly? Have you thought about stopping them and talking to them? Friends, real faith serves with compassion. Real faith serves with compassion. A knockoff faith will talk all you want, all day long and all night. Talk, 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 talk. What kind of faith do you have? 1 John 3:17 says, whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Notice that? Not only do you have, but you close your heart. You close the channel of provision. You say, they don't deserve it. Let them go get a job. Let them do this. Let them do that. Let them do this. What about this? What about that? Friends, that's not my responsibility on an individual basis. I have a responsibility to let my heart flow with the love and compassion of Christ. Right? There's a story told of a European queen several centuries ago who left her coachman, he's the guy who takes the horse and buggy, drives it, left her coachman sitting outside during the winter while she attended the theater. The drama was so heart-wrenching that the queen sobbed throughout the entire performance. But when she returned to the carriage and discovered the coachman had frozen to death, she didn't even shed a tear. She was deeply moved by a fictional tragedy, but completely untouched by a real one, which she was directly involved and for which she was even directly responsible. Friends, we get caught up in the dramas on TV. And we're moved. We even get caught up as we see documentaries about what's happening in other parts of the world. But we're not even ready and willing to help those in our neighborhood, those in our church, those in our families. If you have a real faith, you will serve individuals with compassion. The second thing that we see in this passage is that a knockoff faith knows enough truth, but real faith submits to the truth. Look what he says in verse 18. But someone may well say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Remember what it said in Ephesians 2:10? That we are his workmanship, created unto good works. Therefore, what? Walk in them. In other words, do them. Live by them. Practice them. God has prepared beforehand the works that we are to do, the good works that are available for us to do. He tells us, go and do it. But notice here, verse 19. For you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. You catch the difference there? You say that you believe in God. The demons do and they shudder. Why? Because judgment is coming. They are condemned. And friends, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you are condemned to hell. We are condemned already. The demons know the reality of God and the reality of His truth and the reality of His accomplishing His word, and they shudder with fear because they know their end. Remember when Jesus came up to the to the man that was demon-possessed, and he was going to cast out the demons. And they said, don't send us to the abyss. Send us into the pigs. Because living inside a pig was better than the abyss. You do well. But don't forget, the demons also believe. In other words, the demons know the truth. Do you know the truth? Are you submitting to the truth? Are you surrendering to the truth? Are you living by the truth? Is the reality of the gospel a part of your life? Look with me to Matthew 7. I know we looked at a passage a little bit ago. But Matthew chapter 7. I think it would do you well to read the Sermon on the Mount this weekend. Verses 5 through 7. Matthew 7:21. Earlier we looked at Matthew 7:16. See, we can walk around quoting verses. Let me help you understand this correctly. It's essential that we memorize Scripture. But memorizing Scripture alone does not mean we submit to it. Or we practice it. And I know somebody who they won the Bible memorization award, memorizing over 100 verses, but will confess to you that it didn't mean anything in their heart. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Whoever does the will of my Father, teaching them to observe, that's our job, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. As we teach them, we need to be doing it ourselves. Everyone who does the will of my Father will enter. Verse 22, again, a knockoff kind of faith. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, this is God speaking, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, friends, this is serious business about having a knockoff faith or having a real faith. Because if we have a knockoff faith, we will not enter. Now, I am not assuming that you have a knockoff faith. I'm praying and hoping you have a real faith. But I am warning you about the tragic responsibility or the tragic results of a failure to make sure your faith is a real faith. Because a real faith does what? Submits, surrenders to the truth. Okay, this is what God's Word says? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. That's what God's Word says? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Or is that what God's Word says? I'm going to work at doing that. Instead of saying, oh, I know the Word of God. I can quote it. Thy Word have I treasured in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. Okay? It's not just the memorization. It's not just pouring it in my heart. But it's about allowing it to infect my heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You who practice lawlessness. When there is not a change of heart, when there is not a surrender to the truth, it is lawlessness. It is wickedness. It's sinfulness. It is sinfulness for us to know the truth and not live the truth. For us to know the truth and not to practice the truth. Come back with me to James. We'll look at point number 3. As I think about these things, we think about the soils, right? That the planter went out to sow the seed, and some was thrown on the path where people trampled it. Some was thrown in the shallow, and it grew excited, but it had no roots, so it died. Then some was thrown in the rocks, and not enough place for roots to grow. Friends, where is our faith at? What kind of a faith do we have? Point number three, found here in James chapter 2. A knockoff faith stands on the sidelines. Okay? But real faith sacrifices to obey the truth. Knockoff faith stands on the sidelines or sits on the couch and watches the football game. You know, oh, they should have caught that pass. Oh, what's that referee doing? You know, it's really easy for us to talk about the game and to stand on the sidelines and never want to get hit. Oh, that guy, why did he drop the ball? He only got hit by a 300-pound lineman. Why did he drop the ball? He should have held on to the ball. You ever get hit by a 300-pound lineman? I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, but if you get hit by a 300-pound lineman, it hurts. It hurts. I won't hurt you that much, but I'm old now. Stand on the sidelines, but real faith sacrifices to obey the truth. I want to tell you, our salvation is free, but when we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it hurts. It costs. There's a price to pay. You and I are not accustomed to paying a price because we live in the United States of America. But people pay a price to live and follow Christ in other parts of the world. People die for the name of Christ. Verse 20. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. In other words, faith and works are two sides of the same coin. When you have faith, you all look in the back and say, oh, it works. And when you see the side that says works, oh, it's because of faith. It's not, you can't separate yourself from that. There are some who teach today that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and make Him your Lord down the road sometime. No. Oh, you can have salvation, but discipleship will come another day. Oh, you can receive salvation, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes down the road. No. That's all wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the moment you're saved, you become His disciple. The moment you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. The moment you say you're saved, your life begins to change. It all happens at once. There is no second blessing. There is no further movement down the road as far as something brand new coming in. The minute you're saved, the minute you're born again, all these things take place. You see, verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Working together here. A knockoff kind of faith says, it stands on the sidelines and tries to tell the people on the field what to do and how to do it. Real faith gets involved in the game and sacrifices. He says here, verse 23. And the scripture which was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, Abraham is considered the father of faith, and you see a progressive growing of his faith through the book of Genesis, from chapter 17 on to the next chapters, where he is called out of Ur of the Chaldees. Now, this is just amazing to me. It doesn't explain how he heard the call. We do know that he was called. He packed up everything and left. They tell me about Pico Rivera people. Pico Rivera, they don't go very far. How many Al Rancho graduates do we have here? You guys don't go very far. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But to be able to pack up, you know, and I guess this is the thing that people had difficulty with Chico Felisa, just packing up and going to Kentucky. We don't do that. That's just not our way, is it? But I said, praise God, they're young enough to do it and come back and say, hey, we enjoyed our vacation and we're back home. But God called Abraham, come out and come over here to a land I'm going to give to you. And through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Oh, by the way, I need you to have a son, but I'm in my 90s. Well, it's not that impossible for a man in his 90s to. But the wife, Sarah, was beyond childbearing years. Let me put it that way, okay? And God says, oh, you had a son? By the way, I want that son. Come and sacrifice him. Before Abraham could sacrifice him, God says, okay, you've proven yourself. Your belief has works of, has faith. Your faith has works. You're willing to back up. You're willing to sacrifice because of your faith in me. Because you believe me to be true. Okay? Now let me be clear. God is not calling any of you to sacrifice your children. Okay? This is not going to work. Alright? Just so don't even go there. When they had the new law that you could take your babies, if you didn't want your baby, you could take it to the police station or the fire department. A lady tried to take her teenage boys and they said, ma'am, it doesn't work that way. These are for infants. Okay? Abraham believed, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Okay? He believed and he sacrificed to obey the truth. But we might think, wow, but that's Abraham. He's a good guy. He's a big guy. He's a pillar of the faith. Because with him came Isaac and Jacob and all the rest of those big guys, big names, big testimonies. Well, look at the next person. Well, verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot, prostitute, also justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? You know the story? When Moses brought the people out of the promised land, they wandered for 40 years, Moses died, Joshua took over, and he went in to possess the land that was promised to them, flowing with milk and honey, and this land was given to them by God, but they had to go in and fight for it? That's almost like salvation, right? The land was promised. Salvation is promised. We have to go in and fight. Because why? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to go in and the power of Christ, and the power of God. God had promised the Israelites that He would go before them to push out the enemy. Now, Joshua comes in. He sends, how many spies? Oh, that was into the promised land. And they go in, and he sent in two spies, right, to Jericho? And they went into Jericho. Jericho was this big walled city, very protected city. And these guys, they go in and they go into Rahab's inn or where she lives or where she does business or whatever. They come, the people, the leadership of the town of Jericho come. Say, hey, where are those guys? Oh, they left already. She protected them. Now, what we have to understand about the story is that Rahab had faith in God. She said, because we've heard about your God, that your God is coming to take us all out, and that's why we're afraid. It was their custom to lie and cheat and steal and all that. So she did lie. God is not blessing the liar. Okay? God is not blessing the lie, okay? She did lie to them because she was hiding them. But she was hiding them, and this is a really hard situation here. But we see it throughout Scripture that in spite of their sin, God still blessed. In spite of David's sin, He still blessed. In spite of Abraham's sin, He still blessed. Now, one of two things. One, Paul says, shall I sin that grace may abound? May it never be. But thank God that I'm not put on the sidelines just because of one sin. That God in His forgiveness is great. And Rahab stepped up. You know that her faith got her into a position that God used her as a, in the lineage and the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. She shows up as one of the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers in the flesh of Joseph. Wow. Now, again, because we could think big about Abraham, but he used Rahab. And you know what? She took her life in her own hands to hide these spies. She was willing to sacrifice for the benefit of what God... She didn't have quite understand exactly what God was going to do here, but she was praying and trusting that by her obeying God and protecting His people, that God would somehow be able to open a door of blessing to her and her family. And He did. Because the spy said, put out a red cord out your window and you will be spared when we come and attack the city. I hope I didn't confuse you with all that information, but I just want to make sure you understood Rahab. That Rahab was not your typical person who you would think would, oh, she's going to be a great Sunday school teacher. Yeah. Abraham, yeah, he'll do a good job. But Rahab, man, nursery worker, no way. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it's Tel El Amarna is where all that stuff is found. Did they find the red cord? Abraham believed God. Rahab believed God. She trusted God. Right? They were both ready and willing to sacrifice to obey the truth. How much are you sacrificing to obey the truth? Or are you only sacrificing when it's convenient? Are you standing on the sidelines with a knockoff kind of faith? Where's your faith? That is it a real faith or is it a knockoff faith? Because friends, this is serious business here. And this is serious business so you can communicate the real faith truth to others. That is not just about repeat after me. It's not just about walking the aisle. It's not just about raising your hand. But it's about surrendering and submitting to Christ. Look with me to 1 John chapter 2, please. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 4. I think this may be a very practical way in which we may have to sacrifice our own ego, sacrifice our own self, maybe put ourselves on notice here. Verse 4. 1 John 2, 4. The one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. These are not my words. These are John's words. John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. Verse 5. But whoever keeps His word in Him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. Verse 8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who says who loves his brother abides in the light and there is no cause for stumbling. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. All right. Now, I don't know your families. I don't know what your relationships are. And it doesn't have to be your brother. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your sister. It could be your children. Could be your sister, your brother, your cousin. Does hate reside in your heart? then you don't have anything in common with God, is what he's saying. There needs to be a reminder that if I am going to walk with Christ, if I am going to walk with Him in salvation, then I need to walk with Him in all aspects. There's not a pick and choose here. Now, again, yes, let me be fair on this, because Scripture does say to be at peace with all men as far as it concerns you. If you've made overtures to make peace, to extend the olive branch as a symbolic of peace, if you've attempted to make contact with them and they refuse, well, you've made the effort. Friends, Scripture even tells us that if you come to worship and you have something against your brother, leave your sacrifice there, go home, make peace, and come back. Chuck Swindoll did that. He shared about a time that him and his wife had a little, they duked it out in the morning. No fists or anything, just. He went to church to preach, and he realized, I gotta go home and make peace with my wife. Fortunately, his assistant had a sermon in his back pocket, got up and preached, and says, Chuck says, I gotta go home and make peace with my wife at home, and so Brother so-and-so is gonna preach. That is real faith, friends. To be honest, to be open, to be transparent. Wow. Abraham, Rahab, Chuck Swindoll, and some of you here have sacrificed in obedience to the truth. That means not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Wow. Real faith, knock off faith. Because again, without faith, it is what? Impossible to do what? To please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Are you serving with compassion? Are you submitting to the truth? Now, if you are one who bought a $350 Coach purse and found out it was a knockoff, how'd you feel? Examine ourselves today. We must call out to God. We must get into the Word. We must surrender our hearts to Him and let Him do the work in us. You will see a change. Find yourself somebody to be accountable to. Somebody, one of the small groups that we have. Get yourself into reading through the Word in 2015. Get yourself involved with other Christians as we come alongside each other and sharpen each other for the call of ministry. Friends, I don't want you to have a knockoff kind of faith. It looks good for a while, but it wears real quick. Where are you at in your faith? Have you taken that step to say yes to Jesus? Father, we pray today, as we think of the birth of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the impact, not only his birth, not only his time on earth, but the eternal impact of his death, burial, and resurrection had for us for eternity. I pray that we cry out in gratitude. And Father, we could truly say, joy to the world, the Savior has come. Father, if we are not excited about eternity, there's something wrong. I pray that, Father, you would do your work in our hearts today. That, Father, we would have a real faith. That we would not have to worry about imitations or knockoffs. That we possess the real faith. Stir our hearts today to call out to you to examine ourselves. May we not go home today without taking a moment to meditate and to think about that. Father, we thank you now for your goodness. We thank you for the joy of the season. But Father, we also ask you would keep us sensitive to those who are struggling through this season. That we might love them. We might come alongside them and be a blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name, and God's people said, Amen.